welcome to Emphatia Methodist Church. To find out more about the church or about this recorded sermon, visit our website www.umc.org.za.
I'd like you to take just a few moments to think, what are the pictures that you have in your mind about God? What are some of the images that come to mind when you think of God? You don't have to share them out loud, but we all have some mental image or picture of some sort of what God is like. What are yours? Just think about it for a few moments. Maybe for you, God is a man dressed in white up on a cloud. Sorry, the pictures are so small. We're having some struggles with the projector. But maybe that's how you've seen God, dressed in white up on a cloud, perhaps somewhere far away. Maybe for you, you see God as a judge with a clipboard and a lightning bolt, looking a little bit like Zeus over there, but also ready to zap you if you do something wrong. Perhaps if you've seen the movie Bruce Almighty, God looks a little bit like Morgan Freeman for you. Trevor Hudson talks about a vending machine God, where we put in a prayer and out pops at the bottom whatever we've asked for: wealth, health, prosperity, security, status. Perhaps as a child, you saw this picture. We had this picture up in our Sunday school classroom. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, holding a lamb. This has always been a picture that stayed with me when I think about what God is like or what Jesus is like. Maybe for you, God is something out there, an unknown, far away. We all have some thoughts and ideas on what God is like, on who Jesus is like, on who Jesus is. And through the season of Lent, we are going to be exploring this question, who is Jesus? On Wednesday evenings, we have the course, The Jesus I Never Knew. It starts this week, if you'd like to join us. But over the next few Sundays, these Sundays in Lent, as we read the gospel reading, we're going to ask the question, what surprises us about Jesus? We'll be following the lectionary readings, the set readings for each Sunday, but looking at them through the lens of who is Jesus? What do we see about Jesus or in Jesus that we hadn't seen before? What features in this picture of Jesus that we have that doesn't feature in our other pictures? And maybe do we begin to need to redraw some of these pictures we have of God as we get to know Jesus? So that's where we'll be going. And the text for this Sunday is from the Gospel of Mark, a story that we know well about Jesus' baptism and his time in the desert. Jesus comes from Nazareth and he is baptized by John in the Jordan River. And as he is baptized, the sky opens up, and the Spirit of God in the form of a dove descends upon him. And God speaks, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. I am pleased with you." And from there, the Spirit sends Jesus into the desert, where for 40 days he is with wild beasts and tempted by the devil. He comes out of this time to begin his ministry of telling people the good news, that the kingdom of God is near. It is in this passage that we get a glimpse of Jesus the man. And that is surprising. Jesus the man. Because we are very quick to put Jesus into the category of a superhero rather than a regular guy. Our son James is 3 at the moment and he is very into superheroes. And the other day we were chatting and he says to me, he says, "Mom, Superman is so strong, he can lift up this house. And Spider-Man is so fast, he can run around the whole world without getting tired. And Jesus is so strong, he can hold the whole world in his hands." It's very easy to put Jesus into the superhero category, and perhaps even to picture him with a red cape as a cosmic being on a cloud somewhere far away, but removed from the struggles and the stresses of everyday life. When we do this, when we picture Jesus as a cosmic superhero, we forget one of the profound mysteries of our faith, And that is that Jesus, the Son of God, was also fully man. And that he lived and experienced life amongst us. Mark's gospel takes us to what must have been one of the high points in Jesus' life, a time of affirmation. He was in community, and he must have had a clear sense of what he was there to do and where he needed to be. But then Mark also shows us the other side. As Jesus leaves the river, as he leaves the safety of the community and that place of affirmation, he goes into the wilderness, a place where he is alone, where he must face the temptations and the taunts of the devil, a place where he must have thought, what am I doing? Or even, where is God? In Mark's gospel, we get a glimpse of the loneliness that Jesus must have experienced. And we can't help but wonder what effect John's arrest had on him, for Jesus must have known what was coming. Mark reveals for us something of Jesus the man. And Jesus the man doesn't often feature in the pictures that we have of who Jesus is. Jesus came to save the world, but not as a superhero with a cape and special powers. He came as a human, as one of us. And he lived and experienced life as we live and experience life. So what does this mean for us then? As we try to come to a deeper understanding of who Jesus is, how do we redraw our picture of God having encountered Jesus the man? Firstly, we need to hear again the truth that through Jesus, God has come to us. The God of the universe has come to be with us. One afternoon, a little boy was playing outside with the broom, and as little boys do, he left the broom outside on the back veranda when he went inside. And later that night, his mom noticed that the broom was still outside. And so she asked him, please, to go outside and to fetch the broom. And the little boy informed his mom that he was afraid of the dark, and he really would rather not go outside and fetch the broom. So his mother smiled to him and said, don't worry, God is out there too. And if you're afraid, God is with you. So the little boy opened the back door and called out into the darkness and said, God, if you're out there, please pass me the broom. That is one of the most common pictures that we have of God. That God, if you're out there kind of picture. God up on a cloud, far away. When actually, God is right here. God has chosen to come into our upside down, the chaos that is our life. Whatever is the reality of your daily experience, whether it is caring for children or working in an office, maybe you are living with an illness. All the things that are part and parcel of what it means to be us, God is there, right in the midst of it all. And meeting Jesus the man reminds us of this. It was Bonhoeffer who said, in Jesus Christ, the reality of God has entered into the reality of this world. He says that we cannot keep God and the world separate as two distinct realities because there is only one reality. God's reality revealed in Christ in the reality of this world. God has come into our world. So it was into the reality of this world that Jesus came to show us God, the kingdom of God. And through Jesus, God was working out his plan to redeem all of creation, to restore life as God intended it to be. This was not a new plan. It wasn't something that God decided when he woke up one morning. It was something that had been brewing throughout time. We even read about it in the passage that Janet read for us from Genesis, the story of God's covenant with Noah. The story of Noah is another one that we know so well, a story about boats and rain and animals and rainbows. And in fact, I led Sunday school last week, and the topic I was given was the story of Noah's Ark. So it was very interesting this week to sit down with the passage and decide, is the story I told to children the same one that we tell to grown-ups? And I've decided that it is, mostly. At the heart of the story is the promise, the covenant that God made with the earth, never to destroy the earth again, as he had done through flood. And the rainbow was the sign of that promise. But with the promise comes the hope of something more. It wasn't just a promise to not send a flood. It was a promise that God would never give up on his people. God will never stop seeking us, no matter how bad it gets. God longs for restoration. He longs for our healing and our wholeness. And that rainbow represents not just a weather forecast, but a promise of hope that God will never give up looking for relationship with us. So in Jesus, God was keeping the promise that he made to Noah, the promise to restore and redeem what was broken. Because in Jesus, God has come to find us and to be with us and show us the kingdom of God. Not heaven in a far off place, but life lived now, as it was meant to be. God with us, but in the form of a most unlikely hero, Jesus the man. So don't put your God in a box and only bring him out on Sundays when you put on your good clothes and your brave face and you say everything is okay. Because God came to be part of our reality. God has come to us. The second thing we hear today is that God chose to use Jesus' humanity. He chose to use the fact that Jesus was a man to redeem creation. He used his humanity, not his divinity, to save us. God didn't send a superhero. He sent Jesus. So God isn't looking for super Christians. He's looking for you. And God can use your humanness too. The Bible is full of stories of how God used the most unlikely people. Moses, who God used to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, was a murderer. David, remembered as one of the greatest kings, was anointed when he was just a young shepherd boy. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was nobody special when the angel told her that she would have a son who would be the savior of all. And Paul the Apostle, he describes himself as the worst of sinners. Even today, we hear stories of ordinary people being used by God in remarkable ways. The story of a man called Stephen Lungu is one of these. Stephen was born in Zimbabwe, and when he was 3 years old, his mother abandoned him and his two younger siblings in the center of town. He was taken in by an aunt, but by age 11, Stephen had run away as well, and he was living on the streets. He joined a gang called the Black Shadows, and they were into thievery and thuggery. And one evening, a traveling evangelist came into town. And Stephen was sent to firebomb the event. He arrived at this big tent revival meeting with a bag full of homemade bombs. He sat in the back and he waited for the right time. So that's why we're always nervous of people who choose to sit in the back row. But he sat in the back with his bag of bombs and he waited. And while he waited, he listened. And while he listened, he heard God. And at the end of the meeting, he went up to the preacher and handed him his bag of homemade bombs and said, "I want to know this man Jesus." And Stephen went on to have a remarkable ministry in Africa. And God used him to change many lives. His story changed my life. He's not Billy Graham. He's not T.D. Jakes. He's just a man with a bit of a dodgy past, but serving God as best he can in his community. You may feel that you have nothing to offer God. You're just a mom, just a pensioner, just a working guy. You may feel that there is some issue in your life that you need to sort out before you can come to God or be used by God or before you can get to know Jesus. Maybe you find yourself in a particular circumstance. Maybe there's huge pressure at work or real challenges at home. Maybe there are broken relationships in your life, hurts, unforgiveness, regret. Maybe it's sin that you're struggling with. But we all tend to think, let me just figure it out, And then I'll be in a better place for God. Then God will be able to use me. Then I'll be better. But God uses our humanness. We don't need to hide ourselves from God. We don't need to keep our hurts, our fears, our weaknesses away from Him. Because God is okay with who we really are. And God chooses to use us, weak, broken, but God wants to use us just as we are. It was Peter Story who said, "Ordinary people, touched by the power of the cross, can become extraordinary in their capacity to live and forgive." It is the power of the cross that changes us, not our own efforts. So maybe we need to remove the superhero outfit from our picture of Jesus and see again, like we have seen in the reading from Mark, Jesus the man. Jesus the man, who is God come to be with us. Through Jesus, God has come to us, and God used Jesus' humanity, not His divinity, to redeem creation. So wherever you are, whatever your reality is, God is there. And God can use you if you are brave enough to let Him. Amen. Part of what it means to allow God into our reality is to bring to God those things that are on our hearts. Maybe there's something that you've been lying awake at night worrying about. Or maybe there's somebody that you know just is in need of God's touch today. One of the things that we can very practically do is to pray. To come before the throne of God with those people that are on our hearts. So we're going to do that now. We're going to take some time to pray for the needs of others, to bring them before God. There'll be times of quiet. You don't have to pray aloud. But just in the silence, bring before the throne of grace those people that you want to pray for. Maybe there's a situation in your week ahead that's really worrying you. Bring it to God. And know that God wants to be part of our reality. So let's pray together. Thank you, O Lord, that you have indeed come to be with us. Thank you that you did not leave us lost and alone, but you came to find us and draw us to yourself. Thank you, O God, that you know us and you use us as we are, that you long for our healing and our wholeness, but that you do not cast us aside because we are not perfect. We come and we bring ourselves before you just as we are, trusting in the love that you have for us. We know, O God, that you are interested in the details of our lives, and so we come as your children to bring to you those things that are on our hearts. We want to pray this morning for our families and the people that we love. Those who are maybe ill or facing difficult circumstances, we come in the quietness now, O God, to bring them to you. We pray for our church family, Lord, those within this community who are in need of your touch today. We pray for those who are in hospital or are not well. We pray for those who are struggling with grief and loneliness. We lift them up to you, Lord. We pray, O God, for those with whom we come into contact each day, those where we work, those people that we meet just in the reality of our lives. We pray for those who are hopeless, who have lost hope, those who are feeling lonely and alone, those who are struggling with difficult circumstances. We bring them to you, O God, and pray that you would help us to be the light of your love in dark places. We pray for all your people, O Lord, and particularly for our country. We lift up to you those who are struggling because of poverty and unemployment, those who are battling from the impact of HIV and AIDS, those who are victims and perpetrators of crime. We bring to you our people, O God. And Lord, we know that you know what lies ahead of us this week. And we want to leave this week in the safety of your hands. Those situations and circumstances that are worrying us, we bring them to you. We are content, O Father, to leave our lives in your hands, believing that the very hairs upon our head are numbered by you. We are content to give over our will to your control, believing that we can find in you a righteousness that we could never win for ourselves. We are content to leave all the people that we love in your care, believing that your love for them is greater than our own. We are content to leave in your hands the causes of truth and justice, and the coming of your kingdom in the hearts of people, believing that our desire for them is but a feeble shadow of your own purpose. To you, O God, be glory forever and ever. Amen.